Well, today we got Nick Gibson with us and Deanna, his wife, and we're looking forward to talking squirrel hunting and squirrel dogs. And not only do you love squirrel hunting, but you love training dogs.
I do. I will say that I've had a lot of help. I've only been doing it for, you know, just a little over 3 years. Started out with my dog, Copper. Mm-hmm. It was probably 8 months before he barked at his first squirrel. I read books. I read articles. I would call the guy back that I bought the dog from, and he would try to guide me the best that he could. Finally, we started doing pretty good. We started killing some squirrels out to him. He started actually hunting, and somebody mentioned to me, they was like, you need to really, you know, hunt this dog in some competitions. So I got him registered with the NKC and started taking him to the American Tree and Fox Association.
And this past year, he won Dog of the Year, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, he did. I still, I guess, don't realize how big of an achievement that is. All the other guys tell me, this is big. You did really good with your dog here. And actually, I have the last two plaques that he won.
Well, I'm glad I got to say I hunted with Copper and Maggie. So I got to hunt with both of them on the Grundy County hunt. And
we shot a lot of shells. I'm almost positive we shot one box of shells at one squirrel.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
And you guys are making it fun.
We have a great time with it. And I'm glad that I get to share it with the youth and my kids. You know, that's the one time that we get to all go out and spend a lot of good quality time with one another, making memories.
Won't you take me back to Tennessee?
The award-winning Tennessee Wildcast is on the air with the latest info about hunting, fishing, boating, wildlife watching, and all things outdoors. This year, we celebrate the men and women of the TWRA responsible for 75 years of wildlife conservation. Now make welcome your host, Jason Harmon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Tennessee Wildcast. I'm Jason Harmon, and welcome in. We've got a great show lined up for you today, and we are on location at the Fiery Gizzard Sportsman's Club.
I love that name.
Yeah, it's a great name. Tracy City.
Yeah, named after a trail. Very popular trail around here.
Yeah, so. So I'm excited to be here today. We got some special guests with us, and we're going to be shooting a few shows from here, Don.
Yeah, we're all set up and ready to go.
So it's going to be fun. Do you want to tout a radio station before we introduce our guests?
Yeah, within striking distance of here, South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, we've got WEPG 104.9, and we can be heard Saturday mornings at 7:30 or Sunday mornings at 5:30 a.m. That's sportsman drive time right there.
There
5:30,
you go.
Before church.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, before church. Before, well, you may be in the woods by 7:30 on a Saturday, but listen to us, tune us in there. We appreciate our radio partners. We appreciate our folks who run us on TV, and appreciate you guys for listening on our podcast and following us on social media and all those fun places. So. And we're on Carbon TV now. We probably failed to mention that as often as we should, but Carbon TV.
We're everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Find us out there. Well, today we got Nick Gibson with us and Deanna, his wife, and we're looking forward to talking squirrel hunting and squirrel dogs and all kinds of fun stuff today. But Nick reached out to me a few years ago and said, we're doing the squirrel hunt in Grundy County, and you got any swag or things like that? And I said, yeah, we'll hook you up. And we had some things we gave out for that hunt, but it's taken off and done well, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about it today.
And even got to participate, you and Tucker.
I did
recently.
I
so did. that's awesome.
I did. So anyway, thank you guys for being here.
Yeah, you're welcome. I appreciate you inviting us on the show.
Well, you invited us down to your neck of the woods, so I appreciate you having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell us about yourself, Nick, and then we'll jump over to Deanna.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a pretty simple guy. My name's Nick Gibson. I was born kind of in the area, been raised in the area, just in the several cities inside of the county. Went to school here, you know, and now I work here. I work for Sequatchie Valley Electric as a lineman. I'm the foreman for the crew there.
Awesome.
Had a awesome opportunity to come back home to work, and not only that, but, you know, met my wife here in high school. Even though we didn't really care for each other in high school, we got set up on a blind date and didn't want to go out with each other, but it worked, you know, it worked out.
Cool.
So yeah, but
that's a fun story.
We have good memories.
Yeah, that's awesome. So a blind date that you didn't know who you were going out with.
That's right. That's right. A couple friends set us up. A couple friends set us up, and we both tried to play sick to get out of it, but they weren't having it. You know, they knew we were lying. So, but yeah, we went and had a good time, and here we are today. You know,
that's cool. That's cool. Well, and Deanna, so you grew up in the same area, I guess. So,
yeah, actually, I grew up in Tracy.
Okay.
Went to the same high school. Taught in the school system around here for a few years, and then now I homeschool my three boys, and I'm the head coach of Tullahoma Swim Club. So
okay, awesome. Swim club, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, an outdoors person, you don't hunt and fish very much, but you like to get out and hike, and now with the dog training and stuff going on, you're all in, huh?
Oh yeah, I like backpacking. My family not as much. They prefer campers and hotels.
Yeah, we're glampers, you know. I've got to sleep on the ground. My back hurts the next day, and I don't care for that much.
I hear you.
But we enjoy it.
Yeah, we like the outdoors. I have never shot an animal, but I will go with them just to spend time with them.
Yeah, yeah, it's a family affair.
Yeah, I go for the hike and the sightseeing.
An outdoors family all the way around. That's great.
Yeah, we even each other out.
That's great.
And Nick, you grew up hunting and fishing, right? You've been outdoors your whole life?
Absolutely. I was always raised up outdoors, you know, hunting, fishing. I was raised on a lake. That's, you know, my house was really close to a lake. And I, every evening, every morning that I had an opportunity all through the summer, you know, I'd spend out there fishing. In deer season, we'd be hunting deer, or at deer camp. If it was turkey season, we were hunting turkey, you know. And even in squirrel season, if I was just still hunting, mm-hmm. you know, I was always doing something. Had some uncles with some rabbit dogs. They'd take us rabbit hunting. I mean, it was just all around outdoorsman.
That's cool. That's cool. And so today we're going to talk about some dogs and training dogs, and you've gotten into that recently, but we'll dive into that next. But I want to talk about the Grundy County Squirrel Hunt that you started, and it's been going for 3 years now, right?
Yeah, we just completed our third year, and already we're thinking about the next year. You know, it seems like as soon as the evening's over, you're looking forward to the next year. Even though you're exhausted, and by the time you get home, we crash, you know.
So we
started it, you know, 3 years ago, and it actually in this building was the first event. The Sportsman's Club was nice enough to host us.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of funny how it played out. We had just got our little squirrel dog, and he started doing really well. You know, or according to us, we thought that he was doing well.
Yeah.
And, you know, started doing competition hunts, and I told her, I was like, man, it would be just awesome if somebody could start something to get the youth going. And she and I would talk about it quite a bit. And it's kind of funny because Brandon Selvog, which is one of the game wardens here, he found out that I was doing squirrel hunts, and he come to me one day. He's like, hey, what do you think about getting some buddies together and doing a little youth event? I was like, man, it's crazy you said that, because we just talked about this. You know, we were just thinking about it.
That's great.
So yeah, we did some planning. That was the year I think you baked 120 homemade biscuits.
150.
Yeah, so she did. I'd made a promise to all the guys that were coming. I was like, yeah, my wife makes the best homemade biscuits, and she'll make them all. Well, I wasn't expecting very many people, like 20 or 30, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I think we ended up with 74 people that morning.
The first year.
The very first year, 74 people.
And we didn't count those numbers till the week of, so it was too late to change anything. But yeah, we actually outgrew this location the very first year we had it.
That's still about two biscuits a person, though, so that's good.
Yeah.
The way hunters eat, they need at least two.
Yeah, exactly.
but we are fortunate with that event. We have a lot of sponsors that, you know, want to go above and beyond and help us out. Value Pack, they help sponsor our dogs that come. And Rodney Wright down in Vala Valley, he helps us out giving stuff for the dog handlers. You know, he just wants to help out. I mean, I can go on a rampage with all the local people, like Cody Campbell's Armory, or the Campbell's Armory there.
Mm-hmm.
CW Price with Odd Shop Outdoors, The company I work for, Squatchy Valley Electric, they help us out a lot.
And we had new sponsors this year that just, like, he would walk into business, like Streets, and they'd say, hey, what can we do?
Yeah, Streets Auto Parts, Daryl. Daryl Street, and not only that, but Randy Butner, he helped us out with quality air conditioning and heat. You know, they just, people are hearing how it's growing and what we're doing, what our focus is.
Yeah.
Because I want every kid to go home with something. I don't want them to, you know, come and not kill a squirrel and then be disappointed afterward. We want it to be a fun event, and that's kind of what we focus toward, is that every kid gets to go home with something, which is kind of, we modeled that after the Grundy Youth Rally Hunt, the deer rally hunt that they do here. Every kid goes home with something, and they have hundreds of kids that show up to that thing.
Yeah.
But so, we want to keep it where kids have a chance to actually shoot and kill a squirrel. Mm-hmm. We want it to grow, but we want it each kid to feel special when they leave.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why we still put limits on the numbers, so that every kid does go home with something, but at the same time, they get the experience.
Well, I know my son had a great time. It was the first time we got to join the hunt. We've tried for a couple of years, and things just get in the way. But he went home with a gun. And, you know, it's like, man, he got
not just any gun. Got a really nice gun.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was a 17 HMR.
That's right. The NRA edition, I believe. Yeah. The camo, it was super nice.
It was nice. Nick tried to buy it off of me, but I was like, I don't think Tucker let that one go. But I was shocked when his ticket was drawn, but that's cool. I mean, it was a really cool event.
Yeah, we try to set it up where it's very fair. And not only that, but this year we had a guy reach out to us, and he actually wanted to donate a few cur dogs. and I was like, I had several people come up to me that was like, you're really testing some marriages here, aren't you?
Yeah, mamas are going to see some dogs coming home.
Well, it was funny, though, because she later found out from one of our friends that they thought that there was only one dog getting given away, and the guy goes home. He calls his wife, and I believe it's Josh Thompson. He called her. He's like, hey, do you care if I put, you know, in for this drawing for a dog? And she's like, yeah, whatever, you know. Well, lo and behold, we had 8 puppies, and there was only like 10 people that put in for them. So almost every person went home with a dog. But it was quite comical.
Yeah, you had a few dads and moms saying, nope, we're not taking that over.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids were happy.
Were happy.
They were. It was great. It was really cool. Really cool. I don't want to leave out the Sportsman's Club. I know you've mentioned a lot of people who have helped, but the Fire Gizzard, they cook chili.
That's true. I forgot to mention that. They actually do sponsor. They've sponsored us every year, too, and the American Tree and Fire Association. They always bring you know, an abundance of animals to help us out with, dogs to help us hunt.
And Tess's Kitchen, they reached out the week of and was like, hey, we've heard about this. What can we do? So they actually made some of the desserts. I think the Dr. Pepper Man donated some drinks. That's everyone awesome. Just kind of pitched in to make it happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then the church, you know, donated the
location.
Use a location there, and gladly, you know, wanted us to come down there and use their venue. But yeah, I mean, it was a good time, and we also had Ian Turner. He brought down some hawks and falcons for us to look at to educate the kids, you know. And the previous year, he actually took me and my family and a couple other people out on a hunt.
Yeah.
It was exciting. It was a different world.
Yeah. Falconry is cool. It's a pretty neat sport. So folks who want to get involved next year, how would they find out about it? And what's the kind of the time frame? I know this past year was February 10th, but are you trying that same time every year?
You know, it's been fluctuating a little bit with our schedule, because our schedule changes every year, but we have to focus right after deer season's over, because that's when the availability for the property is open to us. You know, we were fortunate to have all of our land sponsors that are willing to allow us to use their land for that event, and you know, and happy about it. But we got to do it after deer season, because you don't want to mess up a kid's deer hunt either.
Yeah.
And after that, you know, everybody's all for it. You know, and so we've got, I think I tallied it up one time. I think there was like almost 1,600 acres that were available for us to use for our hunt.
I was going to ask you about the properties you guys hunted.
So he actually goes usually, especially to new landowners, and he sometimes he just knocks on doors. Sometimes he gives them calls. Sometimes people contact him. But he actually goes and physically walks every land that's been donated for this. And he tries to make sure there's a squirrel population before he sends a cast out to that location.
Right.
So a lot of time and effort goes into just making sure the locations have the squirrel population that's needed for this.
Sure. Yeah.
But back to your question, to help next year, if someone wants to be involved, they'd just reach out to him.
Yeah, yeah. Just reach out to us. It doesn't matter. You know, I post, or she actually makes our flyer because I'm not tech savvy at all. But... you know, I put my phone number on the flyer, and we usually start promoting it around Thanksgiving. So right around Thanksgiving, we'll start promoting it for the upcoming year. And we only have a limited amount of spots, but we also take in a few extra just because we have people that will drop out last minute. Mm-hmm. So I try to fill in those spots if I most definitely can.
Well, watch our social media for sure. We always try to share it. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for that. We actually do have quite a... When you guys post it, it goes out so far. And I think that this year, our farthest drive was like 4.5 hours, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it was a pretty distant drive. Yeah. But Evan, Evan, he drives really far to come.
Yeah.
I can't remember how far he drives, but I think it's like close to 4 hours.
Yeah, Jonesboro, he comes down, my buddy Evan. And his kids, they came this year, and they've been coming every year. They've been coming from the start.
Yep, they have. Evan, he's been consistent about coming. And that's another thing, you know, we have people, it's amazing that over the 3 years that we've had it, we have quite a few repeats. You know, and I like that. I like to get to see those people all over again.
Yeah.
I've built relationships through this. We all have, you know. We've built relationships through it that we never would have had we not had the youth event.
Right.
And we've also had volunteers. We had a college student from Suwannee come and help us. He just got involved in the ATFA recently, but he actually reached out and was like, how can I help? So a lot of times we have some youth that are too old to participate, but... our son and then Marty Brown's son will come down.
Yeah,
and
Cody.
Olivia's another one of the youth that could participate, but she chooses to volunteer because she gets to do it all the time. So we have several youth that help with this as well.
And Jaden. You know, Jaden's always willing to step in there and help when he can and where he can. This year he kind of missed out because he actually qualified for a state for swimming. So he had to go compete in that. And I'm glad he got to do that. That was really cool.
Yeah, that's all.
I'm sad I missed it, though. I was shedding tears and I was watching the phone the whole time he was in the swim. She was filming it for me, so it was neat, though.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes. You got kids going different directions and doing different things and schedules, but that's cool. Well, not only do you love squirrel hunt, but you love training dogs. And
I do.
And that kind of got you into this, and let's just chat about that for a while. I mean, you've only been doing this for, what, 3 or 4 years now, and it's new to you, but you've become pretty popular in it and doing well with it.
I don't know how popular I am in it, but I mean, I will say that I've had a lot of help. I've had a lot of people reach out and want to help, or you know, they might just give me advice, and I try to take all of that knowledge that I can. There's many nights that I've spent on the phone talking to people about it. She told me there's only one thing that I like talking about squirrel dogs, and that's talking about squirrel dogs. So, but training them, you know, I've only been doing it for, you know, just a little over 3 years. Started out with my dog Copper, and it was funny because I was driving for work, and I was driving around and went down this back road and saw a sign that said squirrel dogs. And so I kind of slowed down, jotted down the number, called it on the way home. And the guy was like, he said, yeah, I've got one dog I'm willing to separate with. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, how much are you asking for? And he's like, $200. I'm like, okay, well, can I come see him? He goes, yeah, you can come see him. His name's James Ed Curtis. He's become a really great friend of mine since then. It's funny how squirrel dogs will connect you with so many people.
Definitely.
Anyway, I go home. I call her. I was like, hey, you know, be ready when I get home. We're going to go look at a dog. She goes, what kind of dog? I said, a squirrel dog. She goes, well, you've always wanted one. We'll go look at one. I'm like, okay, great. On the way, I stopped by the bank. She goes, if we're just going to look at a squirrel dog, why are we stopping at the bank? You never,
never
know.
Hurts to be
you
prepared.
Never know.
Yeah. Yeah. But he knew when I saw the dog's eyes, I'd be like, okay, let's take it. Because I can't say no to an animal.
Yeah, naturally, I had to take all the boys with us.
Sure, you know, yeah.
They would want to see one, too.
Uh-huh. Need approval all
he knows
the way
how
around.
To play it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And Mama can't tell the babies no. You know, that's just how it is. But, yeah, so got Copper and James, he kind of guided me through it. I was like, what do I do? You know, how do I start this?
Yeah, where do I start?
And he told me, he's like, you just, this line of dog, you just walk them in the woods. You wear out a several pairs of boots. And actually, she can tell you about our first hunt.
We take this little dog, and we're all excited. Kids are excited. We've got our phone ready, and we set it down in the woods, and we're like, go find a squirrel. The dog cries and lays down. And Nick's like, I don't know what's wrong with this dog. So we just expected this dog to take off. That is not how it works. So, yeah, I think you ended up shooting a squirrel out to him.
I think it was like the third time that we took him walking. We had just purchased this property, and we took him walking on this land. And his third time walking, he started, you know, getting interested in scents. And he looked up this one tree, and it was a dead tree. And I was like, I think there's something going on here. So I smack it with a limb, and a squirrel bells out of it. So I got excited, and I just started shooting. I didn't know any better. So it turns out, for a squirrel dog, you don't shoot the squirrel until they bark. He didn't bark. And I think that hurt him, because it took him about 3, maybe 4 months after we got him. And we got him at 5 months. So he was probably 8 months before he barked at his first squirrel.
Oh, okay.
But he called all his buddies, and he was like, I don't know what's wrong with this dog. It's not barking. Like, it's not going after the squirrels. And they're like, give it some time. Like, he's got to mature just a little bit, but he did.
A lot of lessons learned there in those first few months. So, and there's, you know, there's all kinds of resources out there. I'm sure you were browsing.
Man, I read
online
books,
and everything.
I read books. I've read articles. I didn't know a lot of these people. I would call the guy back that I bought the dog from, and you know, he would try to guide me the best that he could. But it's so hard to do it over the phone. And
yeah,
finally, we started doing pretty good. We started killing some squirrels out to him. He started actually hunting, and somebody mentioned to me, they's like, you need to really, you know, hunt this dog in some competitions. And I had no idea about his pedigree or what, you know, kind of line he was from. So I started doing the research, and turns out he was actually bred really well. So I got him registered with the NKC and started taking him to the American Tree and Fox Association. Got him registered in it, and was telling Marty Brown, I was like, man, I've got this little dog. I think he's pretty good. He's barking like crazy. And he's like, yeah, okay, you know, he hears that all the time. He's like, yeah, okay, you've got a dog. Okay, just, you know what, just bring it down. Me and you'll go hunting one day. I'm like, okay. So we take this little dog hunting, and he does pretty well. But we were in Prentice Cooper, and we were going through that little poplar grove section. Well, Copper takes off running, and, you know, he's just like a banshee, takes off, and he's running with another dog of Marty's. Well, all of a sudden, he comes running back with his ears pinned back and his tail between his legs, what little bit of a nubby tail he had.
Uh-huh.
It was tucked, and he was just running as fast as he could, and Marty goes, look. There was like a 10-point buck that had his head toward the ground and was just chasing after Copper. And Copper kind of come and got behind my leg. And Marty told me, he said, I thought we was going to have to protect your dog for a second. Well, the deer ran off and had a doe with it. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was wild. It was a good story. It was fun.
That's funny. Wow. That's cool. I had down here, you know, funny stories. You have a few funny stories from different hunts with Copper and did you want to share any of those?
He was always doing something. Like, if he found a hole, he would go straight towards it. It didn't matter if there was a skunk in there. I can't tell you how many times that we'd throw him in the dog box and have to chain him up outside and wash him. He got it under a railroad bed.
Yeah, he had a towel on the back of our property, and he got up under there chasing after a skunk.
Yeah, love skunks. We did not love skunks. He was also a house dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it was always an issue. You know, a lot of people put their dogs in the pen. But no, not this dog. I mean, he got massages before every hunt. So it kind of, he was an interesting little fella. If he went chasing deer, we had a lot of bad habits to break with this dog.
Yeah. Well, and this past year he won Dog of the Year, right?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. He did. That's and I still don't realize how big of an achievement that is. All the other guys tell me, "Hey man, you know, this is big. You did really good with your dog here." And actually I have the last two plaques that he won.
Oh, nice.
And so like this one here is the high scoring dog for the evening event of the rally hunt, the Bob Wallace Memorial Hunt that we had. And I think he had 1,225 plus points. You know, and that's just outstanding, really, for any dog.
Wow.
But a lot of dogs do that. But for me, that was his highest score that he had ever done. It was a record, and he actually placed third place in that hunt.
Wow, that's cool.
But that weekend, that morning, he went out and probably had the worst hunt he had ever had.
Really?
I don't think hunters realize how in tune their dogs are to their emotions, but he was struggling. The dog wasn't doing what he was supposed to. Of course, he wasn't used to getting up before 12 o'clock, so he didn't perform the way he was supposed to perform. But they come home and or come back to the room, and they were all frustrated. The dog's frustrated.
He only had 50 points and 50 plus points. Didn't have the first squirrel of his own in that hunt. Mm. And he came back out of 18 dogs. He was in 16th place that morning.
Wow.
And then he came back that evening with a new mindset. I had to change my mindset because I was angry and I was upset. And she told me, she's like, you know, he reads your emotions. You need to change. So I took a little breather. She gave him a massage. And then we...
And I sent them on their way. I was like, leave the dog with me.
Yep.
Go do what you got to do and then come back and get him. So I gave him his full body massage, a rawhide, and then let him rest, take a good nap, and he was ready to go. He had the best hunt he ever had.
Finished strong.
He did. He did. He did. Awesome. Mama knows what's best.
Definitely. Yeah. And that wrapped up his scores for the Dog of the Year. So it's based off of points. You get points for however many hunts that you place in. The only out of he went to Tennessee, Georgia, Missouri, Mississippi, and Kentucky. Mm. And out of all of those, and there's also an Arkansas hunt, but he didn't compete there. He had 200 points.
Wow. That's cool.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. And you know, it's with heavy hearts that, you know, he has passed on, and I know you guys are going to miss him, but it was a fun and exciting adventure with him.
It was. Yeah. It was.
But yeah.
He lived a full life.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of great memories. And now you've got, you know, you got Maggie and Elsa. You mentioned those two earlier before we got started. Those two dogs are working now, and you're hunting with them and training those up.
Yeah. So Maggie was actually given to us. I mean, yeah. She was already trained and ready to go. And then, of course, Elsa's his daughter. So we're hoping that she will be somewhat similar to him eventually.
Yeah.
There will never be another Copper, but she has some of his characteristics. So the boys are excited to start that next process of training with her.
Well, I'm glad I got to say I hunted with Copper and Maggie. So I got to hunt with both of them on the Grundy County hunt. And
we shot a lot of shell. There was so many shell shot at that hunt.
I won't say we're the greatest. Our boys and girls were the greatest shots, but it was a fun hunt.
Man, we had such a good time, though. I'm almost positive we shot one box of shells at one squirrel.
That's the good thing about hunting, though. It's so much more social than a lot of deer hunts, you know, that kids end up going on, and it's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are making it fun, so good for you guys.
We have a great time with it, and I'm glad that I get to share it with the youth and my kids. You know, that's the one time that we get to all go out and spend a lot of good quality time with one another, making memories.
Exactly.
But, you know, I've met a lot of great people, as I've mentioned, and through Copper's death, you know, I've had so many people reach out wanting to you know, give their condolences, but I've also had people reach out wanting to help me get back in it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And help me out with dogs, and you know, I'm blessed. She's always supported me and everything, and
yeah,
every time we go to a hunt, my whole family's with me, you know, and I'm blessed.
That's cool.
And if you're fortunate enough to get a dog like Copper, you're not just getting a hunting dog, you're getting a best friend.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I appreciate you guys being here with us and sharing these stories, and it's been a fun conversation.
It has been.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Sorry. That's all right. this is Tennessee Wildcast, and we hope you've enjoyed this show. We hope y'all will come back and listen, keep tuning in, and we'll be back here at the Fire Gizzard Sportsman's Club for a couple shows. So keep coming back, and we'll see you next time.
Stay connected with TWRA by visiting our website at tnwildlife.org and follow us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Join us as we celebrate 75 years of conservation in our great state. You can invest in Tennessee's wildlife future by purchasing a license at GoOutdoorsTennessee.com. That's GoOutdoorsTennessee.com.